Hi, good evening. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. Thank you for joining me tonight for my Tuesday night Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia teleconference. I hold these conferences each and every Tuesday night. A little bit about me. I'm a board-certified chiropractic physician and board-certified nutritional specialist. I've been in private practice for 24 years. For the last 18 years, I've specialized in fibromyalgia. For a number of years, I owned a very large integrative medical practice on the campus of Brookwood Hospital here in Birmingham, Alabama, where I had five medical doctors and a very large support staff that worked for me. We combined a very judicious use of prescription medication combined with natural remedies to help patients with chronic illness, primarily throughout the Southeast. In 2003, I sold that practice when the first edition of my book, Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, got into the bookstores, and I've been out practicing solo ever since. For the last 5 or 6 years, my practice has evolved to where about 95% of my practice now is phone consults, and I get to work with patients all over the world. So tonight, I really want to take some time and talk about something that's a very common thing that I see in fibromyalgia, and that's low thyroid. Now, there's all sorts of things that contribute to this thing called fibromyalgia, which is a syndrome. It's really, you know, it's not a disease, it's not an illness, it's a syndrome, and it's made up of a group of different symptoms that come together under this umbrella called fibromyalgia. Chief among those symptoms are diffuse achy muscle pain, poor sleep, low moods, fatigue, and restless leg syndrome, and the list can go on. But the common denominators for fibromyalgia stay the same, which is diffuse achy muscle pain and fatigue. Those are two, and poor sleep. Those are the three big ones. But you can have all these other symptoms that come underneath this umbrella called fibromyalgia. But again, fibromyalgia is not a disease. It's a syndrome. And as such, what we want to be asking is what are causing the symptoms? So we're not, if you've heard me speak or you've read my book, you know that I don't believe we're going to find that there's one common thing that causes fibromyalgia. It's not going to be a virus. It's not going to be problems with a nerve disorder. It's not going to be everybody that's got fibromyalgia has got Lyme disease. That's not going to be what it is. So we're not going to find that that's the case. What we are going to realize is that fibromyalgia is a group of different symptoms that come from the body breaking down, the body not working like it's supposed to. This is something that I said in 2003 when the first edition of my book came out. It's what I've been, you know, what I said in the fifth edition, which is out in bookstores now. It's a breakdown in the body's self-regulating mechanism, the hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenals. There's many doctors and specialists and scientists and researchers who all validate that very same principle that I do, is that fibromyalgia being a syndrome is caused by the body getting under too much stress and it cannot self-regulate itself anymore. Now, when I say that, a lot of some people get offended by that. They say, how dare you say that fibromyalgia is just as, you know, brought on by stress? Well, when I say stress, I don't mean the stress of being in a traffic jam. I don't mean the stress of being out in the yard too much that day and getting stressed out over work, overdoing it in the garden. I'm talking about something that comes along. It could be a chronic thing that comes along for years and years and years of this stress builds up, and finally your body just breaks down. Or it could be a very acute thing like an illness, the death of a spouse, or something that comes along that's a straw that breaks the camel's back. And when it happens, you're never the same again. It's very rare, although I do have some people who like to antagonize me on my fan page and tell me they've never been under stress, and stress is not the reason why they have fibromyalgia. It's very rare because if you think about it, everybody's under stress. And if you think about when your fibromyalgia started, most people share with me that their fibromyalgia came on after years of stress or something, some type of stressful event that finally was the straw that broke the camel's back. When that happens, you have bankrupted your stress coping chemicals and your stress coping hormones, your ability to handle stress, so stress is magnified. When that happens, now you start having problems not only with poor sleep, which triggers an increase in substance P. So you have a low pain threshold, which means pain is magnified, and you have an increase of inflammatory chemicals. People who don't get deep restorative sleep increase their inflammatory chemicals by 40%. Now what happens is because of the stress, you're not able to sleep, which creates more stress. Now you start to cause problems with your adrenal glands. Those are your stress coping glands. And now all the different systems start to have problems regulating themselves because the main systems that regulate each and every system in the body, the hypothalamus, a gland in the brain, when it gets under too much stress, it can't communicate with your stress coping glands, the adrenal glands. And so now you don't handle stress very well. It can't communicate with the digestive system. So now you start having problems with IBS and reflux. It can't communicate with your endocrine system, your hormone system. So you start having problems with your thyroid and low metabolism. And one of the common things that I see with my patients is that low thyroid is one of the big pieces of the puzzle that's missed in helping people to uncover where they're broken down and what they need to do to get well with fibromyalgia. Now, it's only one piece of the puzzle. So there's a whole host of different pieces of the puzzle that need to come together to make the puzzle actually be complete. But, and if you've heard me speak before on this call, you know that the number one thing is reestablishing deeper sorts of sleep, which I talk about in detail in the book. Number two thing is finding and fixing adrenal fatigue. If you can get that deep restorative sleep, you're going to feel better than you felt in years, okay, and you don't do that with drugs or medications. No one's got a drug deficiency. No one has an Ambien deficiency. Ambien has the potential side effects of causing flu-like achy muscle pain, fibrofog, poor memory, anxiety, depression, lethargy, incoordination, poor balance. And that sounds like the very things you would have if you had fibromyalgia, right? Because you don't know, is it the Ambien or is it your fibromyalgia? So no one's got a drug deficiency. And the second thing is the adrenal fatigue. If you're not getting a deep restorative sleep, you're never going to feel good. You're just not. But once you reestablish that, you're getting into deep delta wave sleep, and you start to feel good. And the next thing you got to do is you got to fix those adrenal glands, those stress coping glands, because if you don't, then you find that stress is still magnified. And anytime you get under stress, you can start to have flare-ups. So you got to fix that. Then there's the whole thing with making sure you're getting the high doses, but right doses and combinations of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids. These are the building blocks that make the chemicals that make our bodies work like they're supposed to. So 5-HTP, 5-hydroxytryptophan, makes the neurotransmitter, the brain chemical serotonin, the happy hormone. The higher your serotonin level, the higher your pain threshold, less pain you have. Higher your serotonin level, less anxious you are, less depressed you are, less likely you are to have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome. 5-HTP increases your natural sleep hormone, melatonin, by 200%. So by using the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids that we should be getting in our foods, I mean, that's how we operate. I mean, back in the early 1800s, we weren't taking drugs. There were no drugs. I mean, there were some herbs and, there were leeches and bloodletting, but, we weren't taking, they certainly didn't have Ambien back then or Lyrica or Savella, and people did pretty dadgum good. What's happened is our diet is atrocious now, and so we found that we are kind of eating our way to our grades. We have really abandoned the whole food movement. We eat so much processed food. So a lot of us over the years, we've gotten really depleted in these stress coping chemicals, and we can't handle stress. And it's very hard, and I certainly encourage you to learn more, and you can read the book, my book, and you'll see I do talk a fair amount about diet, about macronutrients, about carbohydrates, fats, proteins, what you should be eating, when you should be eating. That's certainly important. The problem with that is that if you have fibromyalgia, a very complicated illness with all these different symptoms, it's going to take a long time to see a benefit of just changing your diet. Now, you still should do it, because I firmly believe after doing this for almost 2 decades and having multiples of success stories, and you can, you know, you can listen to those success stories at the treatingandbeating.com site. You certainly can listen to those audios and watch those videos of patients just like you who've been able to reverse their fibromyalgia. I know that sounds like heresy because there's people who want to tar and feather me when I tell them that, yeah, you can put fibromyalgia back in the closet. That's always going to be there because it's your weak link. When your body breaks down like that, it's good, you know, that's going to happen again if you're not careful, but you can certainly get your life back. And you, again, if you don't believe that, I encourage you to check out the testimonials of people who are the same as you. I mean, I've got bus drivers and doctors and nurses and bankers and lawyers and housewives and you name it. I've got all walks of life on there that have been able to beat their fibromyalgia. And the common denominator is that all of them got healthy. And so working with me, that was the goal from the very beginning because it's the only thing that works. Taking a handful of supplements doesn't work. Taking a bunch of drugs doesn't work. PT, chiropractic, acupuncture, massage, pool therapy, saunas, whatever, those don't work, at least not long-term. Now, they can feel good and they can help you temporarily, but the way to really not only feel good short-term but long-term is you got to get healthy. And a big part of that is you got to find out where you're broken down. So one of the big things that I find with my patients is that along with the poor sleep and the adrenal fatigue and the deficiencies and all these vitamins and minerals, essential fatty acids and amino acids that their body needs, oftentimes they have a problem with their thyroid working like it's supposed to. A big reason for that is the more stress you get under, the more likely you are to start having problems with your thyroid. And oftentimes patients share with me that they've been to their doctor over the years, and I'll see this in their questionnaire. So when I do a new patient consult with me, mostly by phone at this point, but when I'm reading through that questionnaire and I look at the section on thyroid, what I see is they share with me a very long laundry list of symptoms that they have that they've had for years. And these are the same symptoms that they've shared with their doctors over the years, year after year after year, and yet their doctor never finds out that they have low thyroid, mainly because they're not doing the right test. And once you get the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, you run the risk that you have all your symptoms kind of swept underneath the fibromyalgia rug. So they tell you, oh, your low energy is because you have fibromyalgia. Your hair is falling out because you have fibromyalgia. Your cold hands and feet, that's from fibromyalgia. Your weight gain, that's from the fibromyalgia. So they want to explain all these symptoms as being fibromyalgia. And part of that is they just give up on you. And you know that to be true, right? Because you go back to your doctor month after month, every 3 months, every 6 months, whatever, and they continue to give you different kind of medications because they want to be helpful, at least initially. And at least initially, they think they can help you. So you go back, and maybe initially you start off and you're on non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. Then maybe you get on a muscle relaxer. Then maybe you get on something to help you with your sleep. Then you get on Lyrica. Then it's pain meds. Then it's, you know, this and it's that. And it's more of the same where you keep going back and they say, oh, well, here, let's try this. Or let's increase that. Or let's try this. It's more of let's try this. Now, eventually what happens is your doctor or doctors, plural, get sick of seeing you. And I know that sounds harsh, but you know it to be true. It's not always the case. And that doesn't mean that the doctor that you're working with that you like, because there's some really great doctors out there, but for the most part, the majority of the people that I work with, that I talk with, they find that the doctors just give up on them. So when they go back, the doctor either asks them, well, what do you want to try now? Or they tell them, well, I don't really know what else to do, so I'm going to refer you out to a pain doctor. I'm going to refer you out to a neurologist. I'm going to refer you out to a psychiatrist, right? So they start referring you out. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that they're frustrated because they don't know what to do with you because drug therapy alone doesn't work for fibromyalgia. There's too many symptoms that have to be covered up, and that's what drug therapy does for the most part. It's an attempt to reduce the symptoms. It's not an attempt to find and fix the causes, not with fibromyalgia anyway. It's an attempt to reduce those symptoms so that you're not complaining. And the other thing is they get tired of you coming in and complaining all the time, you know. And a big part of that is they feel dumb because they don't know how to help you. They've done everything the sales rep and the propagandist told them that they're supposed to be doing and is supposed to be working. Of course, those studies are flawed, but the doctor doesn't know that because they've been, you know, hoodwinked to believe that Lyrica actually does work for everybody with fibromyalgia. It doesn't work for everybody with fibromyalgia. It works in 30% of the time, and only 30% of the people that actually helps, 50% get above a 50% improvement in their pain. That's not very good odds. So 70% of people didn't do anything. And the doctor finally starts to realize that what they're being told in their journals and by the drug reps doesn't necessarily hold weight. It's not necessarily true. And then they start to get discouraged, and they really just don't want to see you anymore because they don't have any answers for you. And it makes them feel bad when they see you. But what happens is when you walk in there and you share with them these different symptoms, and these are the symptoms that I typically see on my fibromyalgia questionnaire: fatigue, headaches, dry skin, swelling, weight gain, fluid retention, cold hands, cold feet, poor memory, hair loss, hoarseness, sore throat, anxiety, nervousness, depression, joint muscle pain, burning and tingling in the hands and feet, yellowing of the skin. That's caused by not being able to convert beta-carotene into vitamin A. Carpal tunnel syndrome, problems with balance and equilibrium, constipation, high blood pressure, hardening of the arteries, so that's arteriosclerosis, high cholesterol, menstrual irregularities, PMS, infertility, fibrocystic breast disease, polycystic ovary syndrome, reactive blood sugar dysregulation, so you have where your blood sugars are typically are running low, but also can be high as well, psoriasis, and problems with your immune system. So if they're having problems with chronic sinus infections or upper respiratory infections, those are all symptoms of having a problem with your thyroid. And every one of you that are listening to this have some of those symptoms. Some of you have them all. And yet you've gone to your doctor over the years, and they've done the blood work, and they tell you that everything's normal. There's nothing wrong with your thyroid. The problem is the tests that they're doing are such basic tests that they're missing the ability to be able to diagnose the problem. And so, excuse me, I gotta clear my throat here. Hang on one second. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. I was going to lose my voice there for a second, but a good sip of water fixed that. So with this, the basic blood work that's being done is typically a TSH, which is your thyroid stimulating hormone, and then sometimes you'll have a doctor that will do a free T4, and they'll look at those two things, and then from those two basic blood tests, they'll tell you whether you do or you don't have a low thyroid, an issue with your thyroid. The problem is that those blood tests are kind of like a snapshot of a moving train. And just like a snapshot of a moving train, you're going to get one car in the frame of the picture. And from that, you're going to have to decide, is it normal or not normal? If we're trying to decide which direction the train's going and what the cargo is and what time of day and who's the engineer and who's the skipper, we're not going to know that from that one snapshot. Now, for most of the time, we got one snapshot, and we get the L&N train, and it's red, and we can see that that car is a typical car that comes by on Mondays at 5 a.m. and is typically hauling coal, and it looks like it's a coal container. So my educated guess tells me that that train is the 5 a.m. L&M coal train. The problem is that for every once in a while, there's also another train that looks very similar that has not only red cars, but it has blue cars. And it's not only hauling coal, but it's hauling gasoline. And if we are just doing a real basic snapshot where you run the risk that we make the wrong diagnosis or no diagnosis, we make the wrong call. And that's what happens day in and day out in clinics throughout the United States and the world, by the way, because I work with patients in Australia and Europe and Canada and throughout the world. The same thing happens, is that they're so used to doing it the same old way. And that's what they oftentimes will tell you, is no, I won't do this test because this is the way I've always done it. This is the way I do it. And you don't need this other kind of test. This is, you just need to know what your TSH is. What they're trying to do is lump you in with everybody else. So you've got a bell-shaped curve. So you got the 60% that comes underneath the curve, and you got the outliers, the 20% who are overachievers and 20% who are underachievers. Well, the problem with that is you're not average. There's nothing average about fibromyalgia. It's like one of the most weirdest things you can get. I mean, how do you explain fibromyalgia to people? You probably can't, can you? I mean, there's so many different symptoms and so many different facets to fibromyalgia. Some people with fibromyalgia are 40, 50, 60, 100 pounds overweight. And when they work with me, they got to lose that weight. And they do. But there's other people who I work with who weigh 110 pounds, soaking wet. So there's so much difference. We are as different on the inside as we are on the outside. And that's one reason why one person needs to take 500 times the amount of B5, vitamin pantothenic acid, which is your anti-stress hormone, I'm sorry, anti-stress vitamin, to help your adrenals, your stress coping glands, work properly. And if they don't take that high dose, they're not going to notice any difference taking that vitamin. Other people, you know, they don't need that. Some people, they need 1,000 milligrams of magnesium, which is in 300 different bodily processes. So it helps you to be able to regulate your bowel movements. If you're constipated, you're going to be low in magnesium. If you get muscle cramps or spasm, eye twitches, if you have problems with migraines, mitral valve prolapse, high blood pressure, depression, low energy, all those things need magnesium, because the more stress you get under, the more magnesium you deplete. Some people need 1,000 milligrams of magnesium citrate or chelate a day. And if they don't get it, they have all these symptoms of muscle spasms and all these things that I've just shared with you. Other people, if they take even 500 milligrams of magnesium, they're in the bathroom all day with loose bowel movements. They can't take that much. So we're different. We're different on the inside as we're on the outside. Same thing holds true for our hormones and with our thyroid. So for the most of the population, 80% of those people that are out there, or 85%, I think, certainly the population of fibromyalgia is going up. It's getting more and more people finally getting diagnosed, as they should be, rightfully so, instead of told that they're either lazy, crazy, or just suffering from, a Prozac deficiency. So we're getting more and more people diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and what we know is, without a doubt, is that those with fibromyalgia are special. There's no doubt about it, because we know that for many people with fibromyalgia, they can't tolerate certain medications, may not tolerate certain supplements, strong odors, smells bother them. They take something to put them to sleep. It wakes them up, pick something to wake them up, it puts them to sleep. They go have blood tests done, and all their blood tests come back normal, and yet they've got 32 different symptoms and conditions that they want to share with their doctor. So they're definitely not, that's not normal. And so because of that, they need more detective work. They need someone to be like a Sherlock Holmes and really do the amount of work needed to uncover where they're broken down. What they don't need to hear is, oh, you're just tired because of your fibromyalgia. Oh, you just have depression because it's the fibromyalgia. What they need to know is, why do they have the low energy? And thyroid is one of those key things that if you miss it, you miss a golden opportunity to help people finally get back on track. It's one of those things that can be a super game changer. So what I wanted to make sure tonight is I give you some really step-by-step things that you can do, consider about with your thyroid. So I'm going to share with you tonight the tests that you need to ask your doctor to do, okay? And Now, many of you are going to say, well, you know, I've asked my doctor to do this test because I saw them in your book, which they're in my book, and he or she won't do them. Well, fire them. Get another doctor. You're not married to this doctor. It's not the only doctor in town. Of course, it could be small town, but you're going to have to be proactive. You're going to find that most doctors are not going to want to work with you. You're going to find that most doctors are not going to want to do this blood test. So if that's the case, you're going to have to find a doctor who will. Now, there are people on the line saying, well, my doctor's fantastic. He or she will definitely order this test. And then they're going to go and they're going to find out they don't. Or they're going to find that their doctor is a great doctor. And I hear this periodically. Unfortunately, I hear more of my doctor doesn't know what to do with me. But I do hear periodically, I have a great doctor. I have a great doctor, and my doctor tells me that I don't need to worry about getting these additional blood work. So, I don't think I need to fool with that. He says I'm doing fine. Well, you need to realize that's the same doctor that this person's been working with for 10 years, and they're no better. That makes no sense to me. I'm sure it makes no sense to you. So don't be in that category. If you're working with a stupid doctor or a lazy doctor, get another doctor. And if you can't find a doctor who's going to use the protocols I recommend in my book and help you, then you're going to have to go to the functionalfibrodoctors.com site and see if there's a doctor in your area trained by me using these protocols, using this testing that you can work with in your town. And if you can't do that, then you need to set up a phone consult and work with me. But don't expect that you're going to go and not get some, negative feedback from your doctor. Now, if you can get it done, great. Now, then the challenge is going to be, does he or she know what to do with the results? And we'll talk about that. So that can be a problem as well. But the first thing you want to do is you want to, and you might want to write this down, but these are the tests that I do on my patients. Every single patient that I work with, I test these things. So I check them for their TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. I check their free and total T3 and their free and total T4. Super important because if you just know what the TSH is and you know what the free T4 is and you don't know what the free T3 is, you run the risk you're missing out on a big part of what's going on. We need to know what the T3 uptake is. That's never ordered. That needs to be ordered because if the T3 uptake is compromised, if someone's estrogen dominant, maybe they're on taking hormone replacement therapy or birth control, that can sabotage the conversion of T3 to T4 because the T3 uptake is compromised, and now we have a problem with the thyroid. The TSH may look good, but the T3 uptake is off, so the person doesn't feel any better. Again, the blood work looks okay, the basic blood work, but they don't feel any difference. Or if they're not taking, and that's if they're taking something, but if they're not taking anything, the doctor just tells them that everything is fine, even though they have all the symptoms and low thyroid. The other thing you need to do is you need to make sure you have your doctor check you for thyroid antibodies. So we want to know the TPO antibodies and the anti-globulin antibodies. Now, what those are the first signs that you're getting Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is the most common cause of low thyroid function. Hashimoto's thyroiditis is an autoimmune disease where the body erroneously attacks the thyroid tissue. And it does that because it thinks the thyroid tissue is a foreign invader. At some point if you have this, then what happens is the body associates that thyroid tissue, those thyroid cells, as a virus or a bacteria or a fungus or something, to where when the immune system was revved up too high and it was doing its job, which is what it's supposed to go out and seek out and destroy any kind of things that are can cause problems for the body. But what it can do, it can overreact. And that's what we see with rheumatoid arthritis. The body's actually attacking the joints. And this, what we see is the body's actually attacking the thyroid tissue. And it compromises the thyroid function. Now, here's the thing. with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, to get the diagnosis, you have to have not only the elevated antibodies, okay, but you also have to have elevated TSH. Now, this is confusing to a lot of people, and so I'll try to simplify this. But your TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, that goes up when you need more thyroid. So if it goes up, that means you need more thyroid. If it goes down, if it goes low, that means you don't need thyroid hormone. And that's confusing because you'll hear a doctor say, oh, your TSH is low. And you think, oh, I need to be on thyroid. But that's not the case. Or you hear, oh, your TSH is elevated. And you think, oh, well, I don't need to be on thyroid. And doctors, I had a patient today. I shouldn't laugh about it because it's really not comical. It's so sad and so ridiculous, it makes me want to scream, especially in the context of, because let me share this first. All right. Your TSH, your thyroid stimulating, should be below 3.0. Anytime it's above 3.0, anytime it's higher than 3.0, that means you have low thyroid. An elevated TSH above 3.0 means you have a problem with your low thyroid function, and everything slows down, including your metabolism and your mental clarity, right? So that's what low thyroid is. Now, if your TSH is below 0.08, you get down really low, down to 0.9, 0.8, down in that area, that's too low. That means hyperthyroid. And that means when you really have, you see everything kind of speeds up and you have a lot of extra energy and you feel really anxious and you can't sleep. So that's hyperthyroid, okay, when the TSH goes real low. Now, here's the thing. In conventional medical world, they're still using these outdated parameters to where, now, 5-6 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, but not too much longer than that, I would get lab work back, and the TSH would be at 10, 12, sometimes 15, and the doctors would say, oh, well, we're just going to watch it. It's okay. We're going to watch it. It's not enough to put you on any kind of medication at this point, right? Now it's gotten better, and the parameters have come down in the conventional, traditional world to where, depending on the lab you're being in, the area you're at, because they base it, you know, on the averages, you know, what the average population in your area is, based on normal, healthy people. I don't know anybody that's normal or totally healthy. Do you? I don't. But anyway, there's supposedly some normal, healthy people out there that make up the average for all these test parameters. And so if you're above 4.5, some cases 5.2, that's when they'll diagnose you with hypo or low thyroid. Okay? So make sure you understand that. And you can read about this in detail in my book. I know it can be confusing. I'm doing my best after a long day in clinic to make it not confusing, but I'm sure it is. But in the functional medicine testing, and that's the kind of medicine I practice and many other doctors, and of course the doctors that I train that work with me, the test that we go by, test parameters, are different than in the conventional world, okay? And that's based on optimal function. We want you to be at your different systems to be operating at optimal levels. And what we know is at 3.0, your TSH should be below 3.0. If it's above that, then you're hypo or low thyroid. About 5 years ago, the American College of Endocrinology, these are the experts in endocrine and thyroid hormones, they came out and they said that based on their studies, thousands of meta-analysis studies, they found that anybody over 3.0, if their TSH was above 3.0, they should be on thyroid medication because they would feel better. And they really should legitimately be diagnosed as having a problem with the thyroid. Now, here's what happened. When the general physicians and the general population found that out, they said, oh, no, we can't do that, because we're going to have all these people flooding our offices saying that they've got low thyroid, and we're going to have to treat all these people. And in my endocrinology practice, I can't handle any more patients. And they really don't need to be on thyroid anyway until they get lower, until their numbers go up. And so over the years, it's crept down, but it still hadn't hit the 3.0. So oftentimes, I'll have patients who I'll look at their blood work, and sure enough, their TSH is above 3, so it's at 3.5, but it's below the 4.5, so they're told by their doctor that there's nothing wrong with their thyroid, but they're using outdated testing parameters. I hope you caught that. So once I get them on over-the-counter thyroid medicine that I use, their whole life turns around once we start doing that. So their hair stops falling out, their cholesterol levels go down, they quit being constipated, their moods improve, they have less anxiety, they actually have some energy, they can get off the couch, they start losing some weight. All those things improve. So let me tell you, today I had a patient who I've been working with, and so she's been seeing this doctor. I think she's out west. She may be in Arizona, or New Mexico. I think it's Arizona. But anyway, so she's seeing this doctor, and she saw them in May before she started working with me, because I got the records. I looked at those before I worked with her. And her TSH at that point was at 12. 12.0. Now, obviously that is hypothyroid, no doubt about it, okay? But she told the patient that she was just going to watch it. She's going to see what it was doing. So in June, she consulted me. I took her on as a patient, told her I could help her, and this is what I recommended. And so I went ahead and put her on over-the-counter thyroid. And so she's been taking that for about a month, and I was trying to be kind of conservative to see what her TSH would do on what I was giving her, and then I was going to go back and recheck it, which I did here recently. And her TSH now has dropped down to 8.0, so it's at 12, now it's at 8, it's coming down. It's telling me we're going to have to be more aggressive because it needs to get down really below 3, but really ideally, once you get a diagnosis of a hypothyroidism, which I was the one that had to diagnose her, right? I was the one that had to get her started on the medicine, even though it's over the counter. And so I'm the one that's having to treat her. Her doctor, who I told her basically today was just stupid, and I'm sorry, but I mean, that's just the way it is, like I said, but she should have gone ahead and gotten her on thyroid medication, a prescription medication, but she didn't. She elected to watch her. Well, anyway, so now the doctor gets these results from me. You know, I shared those with her, and thinking, well, maybe she'll go ahead and, you know, put her on prescription thyroid medication, and I'll adjust what I'm doing. But I want her to know, because, you know, that may happen. Well, she gets it, and she sees this drop from 8 to 12, I mean from 12 to 8, and she tells her, well, golly, this is looking better. And then my patient shares with her that she's working with me, and she's using this over-the-counter thyroid. And her doctor says, and she tells her how much better she's doing. I mean, she's actually able to get off the couch. She's actually being active. She's doing an anti-inflammatory weight loss diet with me. She's losing, you know, about half a pound a day on that diet, which she wouldn't have been able to do with the low thyroid, as low as it was. And she's telling her these things, and she looks better. I mean, she even, you know, her doctor even commented. And then she told the patient, she said, well, I think you need to stop that. That could be dangerous. And then she said, I think you should just wait. We'll check your thyroid in 3 months. And what it's doing, because it's coming down. Now, that is like the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Here's someone's actually getting their life back. And this is what really I find comical, that I had today when I checked my email. I don't oftentimes check my email that comes in through the public site because I get 400 emails a day. My patients who work with me, they have direct access to me, so I answer their emails throughout the day. I know I can do that. But every once in a while, I'll go in there and kind of see what's going on, see what I need to check on. So I had one email that came in and said that they were very skeptical about me now that they learned I was a chiropractor. And, of course, I mean, I'm a person, too. I've got an ego. So I immediately got defensive about that. And my first initial thought was, that's your loss, not mine. And then I realized, you know, one of my great mentors, Dr. Wayne Dyer, says I can choose peace over this. And I realized, absolutely. I mean, I don't know who this person is. And they probably had a bad experience with, you know, a chiropractor or chiropractors plural, or they listen to negative stuff and they think that only a medical doctor can you know, help somebody with fibro. And so they don't know me. You know, they don't know that I've been doing this for 18 years. I've written, you know, 5 editions. You know, I train other doctors. I teach in throughout North America other doctors for continuing ed, both medical doctors, naturopaths, chiropractors. They don't know any of that. So, you know, I just deleted the email. There was no sense in me replying. I certainly wasn't going to get into any kind of conversation and have to try to prove to myself. But it came back to me today when I see here is this doctor, this so-called medical doctor expert who's supposed to be helping this patient. And they're so ignorant that they don't even put them on thyroid medication. And then to add fuel to the flame, they tell the patient to go off this over-the-counter thyroid medication because they don't know what it is and it could be dangerous. Meanwhile, because the patient's been on this and other supplements that I've got them on, they feel better than they felt, she told me, in probably 10 years. So, yes, I'm a chiropractor and I'm a board certified nutritional specialist, and I'm not a medical doctor. And I'm happy about that, actually, because when I had my medical practice and I had 5 medical doctors to boss around, I saw the slippery slope with that. And the slippery slope with that is that even those medical doctors worked for me and they knew what I wanted to do, which was to combine prescription medications, very judicious use of those, and natural supplements, they would still periodically go back to their old ways and they would try to cover up a symptom with a medication because it was easier to do that than try to dig around and try something else. And they also, and part of it was they were compassionate. They wanted to help this person. But what they did by putting them on some of these medications like Ambien or something, instead of really working with them to figure out why they couldn't sleep, they traded the short-term results for long-term success. And I saw that happening, and that's when I sold my medical practice because I realized that the more drugs we used in the patients, the less chance we had of actually getting them well where they would stay that way. Yeah, we got some symptoms reduced. We got people feeling better short term, but long term, we were no better off a year later, certainly not 2 years later with these people. And I saw that. That was a real eye opener for me, and I realized I would not have seen that if I had not had the background that I had as a chiropractor, because I didn't have drug reps coming to me every day, bringing me lunch and taking me to dinner, and I didn't have people handing out vacation vouchers and all kinds of stuff. I wasn't tainted. I didn't have that mentality. My mentality going through chiropractic school and the reason why I went to chiropractic school is because of the appeal of trying to do it natural, that the body that was given to us by God is the body that can heal itself. It needs some help, no doubt about it, sometimes. And sometimes that means drugs. Thank goodness we have them. But it doesn't mean you do it all with drugs every time. It doesn't mean that that's the only way. There's certainly other options. And definitely what my cup of tea was is trying to figure out the biochemistry of how it worked. And by figuring that out, using the natural ingredients that make that biochemistry work. The body doesn't need Ambien to sleep. The body does need melatonin, needs high doses of serotonin, N-acetic acid, NADH, DHEA. These things are what make the brain be able to relax and then go to sleep and get into deep restorative sleep. That's what it needs. But it's harder. It's a lot harder to do that than it is just to give somebody an Ambien. And if you've got a 5-minute or 10-minute appointment, it's a lot easier to give a prescription than it is to really do the detective work and figure out where someone's broken down. So I get that. But anyway, I digress. So we're back to thyroid. All right, so we've talked about the different tests that you need to ask your doctor to order, and we've talked about that. And you may have a doctor that tells you they're not going to do it, you don't need that, and I'm telling you that's a doctor you just need to fire. So if you can't find a doctor to work with, you need to work with one of my doctors, one of the doctors that's been trained by me, or you need to work with me. And that's, you know, that's, I don't know how else to say that. I don't have all the answers. I certainly don't. But what I'm seeing more and more of is more and more doctors who don't have any answers and patients who are relying on these doctors, and they're getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So I'm getting bolder and bolder and bolder to say that if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, you need to find a doctor who's using protocols that I recommend, that I use. Again, there's other doctors besides me having success. Find them. If you can't find them, then you certainly know how to get in touch with me. So with the thyroid, here's what can also happen. Keep this in mind. There's many patients out there who are taking thyroid medication that makes no difference. And they're on Synthroid or Levothyroxine. They're on these medications, and they go back to the doctor every 6 months, and they get their blood test done, and their TSH, everything looks normal, and the doctor says, oh, yeah, that's good. Let's keep you on that dose. And they don't feel any better. The hair's falling out. They've lost the lateral third of their eyebrows. They got cold hands, cold feet. They have low metabolism. They just, you know, they smell food and they gain 4 pounds that day. They have anxiety. They have depression. Here's another thing that's a misconception, is that everybody with low thyroid is overweight. That's not true. That's not true. You don't have to be overweight to have a problem with your thyroid. It's not true. So don't let that fool you. And certainly don't let a doctor, because that's oftentimes what happens too. And they look at you, it looks like a fibromyalgia. Well, you look okay. You know, you look fine, yeah. But with the thyroid, your body has to convert the inactive T4 into the active hormone T3. So you've got two main hormones, thyroid hormones, thyroxine and triiodine, which is has three iodine molecules. So you have T4 and T3, and the T4 is the inactive thyroid. It has to convert into the active T3. In fact, you can live without T4, but you can't live without T3. You die. You have to have T3. But doctors use T4 medication like levothyroxine and Synthroid, synthetic T4 medications, because it's easier to regulate. It's easier to dose people on, to get them on the prescription. It's easier to be able to see what's happening in the blood work. So basically, it's just easier, okay? And this misconception has happened over the years that doctors have always done it this way, so they're always going to do it this way. The doctor that trained me did it this way, and the doctor that trained him did it this way, and the doctor that trained her did it this way. So we've always done it this way. And that is, we put you on T4, and then we check your blood periodically. And as long as your TSH looks okay, and your free T4, if they do that, that looks okay, then you're fine. You just stay on that medication. Can't help it. Your symptoms aren't any better. I'm looking at your blood work. Your blood work looks fine. Oh, I'm sorry to hear you can't get out of bed, and you're gaining weight, and your eyebrows are falling out, and your hair's falling out, and you're constipated, and you have high cholesterol. Don't worry. I can give you medication for all that. So I can put you on Lipitor, which then can cause you to have achy muscle pain and mitral valve prolapse and congestive heart failure and all these things that can happen with taking Lipitor, depression, anxiety, nerve damage, and 33% of people take it. Oh, you have no energy. I can put you on Adderall, Ritalin. Don't, no problem. I can put you on all those things. But your thyroid's good. Yeah, your thyroid's good. Your dose is good. Here's the problem is that sometimes your body, when it gets under too much stress, it releases another hormone called reverse T3. And reverse T3 blocks the conversion of T4 into T3. And when that happens, you're not converting the inactive T4 into active T3, so you feel no better. And because your doctor's not checking a reverse T3, they don't even know what the heck it is, so they don't even check it. They don't know that what they're giving you is not even doing any good. Now, I'll go into detail about that in the book. So that's another thing that happens that's very common. I see patients who are on Synthroid or levothyroxine, and they never change the dose and never feel better. Now, here's another thing that can happen. So I also have patients that are on those medications, and they find that their TSH is going up and going down, going up and going down. So their doctor's always having to adjust their medications because their thyroid is either high or slow, high or low, high or low. And they there's like a merry-go-round. They're up, they're down, up, they're down. And they never feel good because of that. Now, the doctor doesn't check their thyroid antibodies, doesn't check their reverse T3 to see if those are problems because, again, they're doing the basic blood work. Most doctors don't ever check your thyroid antibodies. That's just not something they do because here's why. Let's say you go to your doctor and you say, and I've had patients tell me this, they've read my book and they went to the doctor and they said, Dr. Jane, I'd like for you to check my thyroid antibodies. Now, the first thing that happens is they say, why would you want to do that? I don't ever do that. It's not what I do. Your TSH is fine. There's no reason to check your antibodies. I know, but if you would just be, you know, if you would just check it, just read some information about it, and I'm just curious. Can you just check it? And, you know, maybe they browbeat the doctor, and they've got a doctor who actually is, you know, willing to go out on a limb and do things a little bit different and, you know, be radical. You can call it radical. It's actually just being a good doctor. But they do the test, and it comes back. And sure enough, their thyroid antibodies are elevated. Now, the normal level for a TPO is below 60 or 64. And I've got patients, their TPO antibodies, the one today was 1,300. It's not unusual. Sky high antibodies. So that is saying that the, you know, it's 20 times what it should be. And what that's saying is the body is attacking that thyroid tissue at a very accelerated rate. But let's say you go, your doctor runs the antibodies and they come back positive, and then the doctor says, okay, well, guess what? You're right. Your antibodies are elevated. And then you ask them, okay, well, what do we need to do about this? Oh, well, we just need to watch it. Because we just need to watch it because your TSH is normal. Until your TSH is elevated, now what does elevated TSH mean? Remember, it means you have low thyroid. Until your TSH is elevated above what they consider normal, 4.5, they're not going to do anything because they don't have anything to offer you. They don't know to do anything. And because of that, you may have 5 or 10 years where you have all the symptoms of low thyroid, everything that I've talked about tonight. And your doctor just continues to tell you, well, you know, your thyroid, it's not your thyroid because your TSH is okay. But what they don't realize is Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is a combination of elevated thyroid antibodies and elevated TSH, the beginning of Hashimoto's is the elevated antibodies. And again, that may take 5 or 10 years before finally, and here's what happens, finally the thyroid tissue gets burned out. It's just destroyed by the body, by the overreactive immune system. When that happens, then finally your thyroid stimulating hormone goes up because the thyroid is, the function is so poor that it raises the TSH level saying, hey, we need some thyroid hormone in the body. But it may take 5 or 10 years for that to ever happen. So you've got 5 or 10 years where you feel terrible. You've got all these symptoms of low thyroid, and what they're doing is watching your thyroid, telling you that it's okay. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. But the reason why they do that is they don't have a way to treat the Hashimoto's. The way they treat it is they treat it with thyroid hormone replacement therapy like levothyroxine or Synthroid. But that's not, it's not that you need thyroid hormone, okay? What you need is to find out what's attacking the thyroid tissue and fix that. Does that make sense to you? It made perfect sense to me when I heard this several years ago and started getting trained in it. Absolutely. It made perfect sense to me. And so we have a way, doctors who practice functional medicine, we have a way, if you're really trained in it, to be able to fix that and not wait till a thyroid burns out. And we have a way to do testing to see what's causing that. So low vitamin D levels can contribute to that. Elevated estrogen levels can do that. Viruses like cytomegalovirus, herpes viruses, Epstein-Barr viruses, all those things can contribute to or cause Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And that, those things can be tested for. And then once it's found, you can actually fix those things. And I talk about that in the chapter I have on thyroid in the book. Now, I know a lot of this went over your head, but that's, you know, unfortunately, we're complicated, but you need to know this stuff. I mean, if you get even a partial bit of this, which is at least that, okay, I can't settle to go to a doctor who's just going to do basic testing because I'm never going to be well. I'm not basic. I'm special. And I need special testing, and I need a doctor who's special that's going to work with me to help me feel good again. And so I'm going to have to make some choices. And if you just get that, you got it. But if you continue doing what you're doing and you keep doing what you're doing expecting different results, you're going to get the same old results. And the results that many of you are getting on this call are many of you who, because we're going to make this a replay from tonight, many of you that listen to this, the results that you're getting is year after year you get sicker and sicker. And you find you can do less and less. You find that you're withdrawing from the world. You don't socialize anymore. Many of you can't work anymore. A lot of you have become divorced because of this. But what you're finding is you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and you're just basically have come to the point, is it going to be a good day or is it going to be a bad day? Am I going to have a fibro flare? Is the weather going to change? And I'm going to have a fibro flare. Can I go to the store today? Can I get dressed today? Can I go and meet friends for lunch today? Can I take a vacation? Probably not. Many people can't travel. And once you just start settling, you get to where you can't even go do things that you used to do, like go to the movies, the things that normal people take for granted. Now, I'm 54 years old, and I'm kind of shocked to even say that because I don't look 54, I don't feel 54, I practice what I preach, but I run 5 miles every day. I work out an hour some days in the gym. I love to do that. That's my outlet. I've got 2 small boys. We just got back from Costa Rica surfing. That's something that they wanted to do. I've got a daughter that's leaving, going to college. She's 18. She's going off to college. One of the things we always wanted to do together, we wanted to surf. It's not something Birmingham, Alabama is not something you do. So that's something we wanted. We all just got back from doing that. I'm looking for ways at 54, what else can I do? Last year I went and was in Telluride and I did bike, mountain biking down 11,000-foot slopes. You know, I went down doing that. I'm looking for what can I do to expand my life, my vitality. That's what we should all be doing. But when you got fibro, what you're looking at, you just withdraw further and further and further from the world. And basically, you just settle. You're just settling. And if you're at that point, I really feel for you. I totally understand it, and I get it. But what I want to tell you is you don't have to settle. Do something different. If you think I'm a nut case, I'm not the right doctor for you or whatever, or then fine, but find somebody else. If you want to work with somebody locally, face-to-face, a lot of people tell me they want to do that, then go to the functionalfibrodoctors.com site and see if there's somebody trained by me in your area, and we'll get you we'll get you set up so you can get in touch with him and see if you like him or not. If that's not the case, then if what I've shared with you or what you've read in the book or you've watched the free videos on the treatingandbeating.com site, you've watched those videos and it makes sense to you, pick up the phone or fill out the paperwork on the internet at the treatingandbeating.com site. If you're still just not sure about working with somebody over the phone because it just seems so weird, that's where it's all going. The people who specialists, the specialists, what we're going to see is more and more people are going to work with specialists by phone. It's going to all going to be on your smartphone. You're going to have sensors that are going to pop up. They're going to take your pulse, your heart rate, your blood pressure. All that's going to be, eventually it's going to happen. I've been doing it for 5 or 6 years, but it's going to be the norm. If you can't find somebody who can help you locally, then you got to go to somebody who can help you wherever that is. And fortunately, it can be done by phone. You don't have to come to Birmingham. It used to be you'd have to come to Birmingham. You'd have to get the blood test done here in Birmingham. You'd have to get the IV therapy because we used to do a lot of intravenous IV therapies and all these kind of things. You used to get prescriptions, you know, years ago when I had the medical doctors, and they couldn't write prescription over the phone. So, but that none of that is the case now. Now it can all be done by phone. It can be set up so you can get blood work done in your city. You can get functional medicine test kits that look at how well or how poorly your different systems are working. Those can be ordered from the different laboratories throughout the world now because they have those tests stored some in Australia. They're sent to the patient. And once you do those tests, it'll tell you how well or how poorly your different systems are working. Now, once you know that, now you know what you got to laser in and fix. That takes all the guesswork out of what you got to do. Otherwise, it's a lot of, let's try this. Or here, let's try that and let's see how you do. And come back in 6 months and we'll see how you do. You can do that, but 5 years is going to go by, 10 years is going to go by. But you can cut to the chase to make sure that you find out exactly where you're broken down and start treating the causes and not the symptoms. You can do that with the specialized testing. And the doctors that I've trained, they do that testing. We've been trained in that with functional medicine. But not only are we trained in functional medicine, which is a very growing dynamic, and you can go to now Cleveland Clinic just added a whole specialty of functional medicine, which is fantastic. But what you're going to run into is you're going to run into doctors who are doing functional medicine, but they're still not fibromyalgia experts. And that can be a potential problem because they don't understand fibromyalgia. Next thing you know, you're taking a bunch of stuff you really don't need to take because it really isn't going to matter if you've got candida albicans or if you've got low estrogen progesterone. If you don't fix your sleep and your adrenals and your thyroid and these other things that we've talked about, those things really are not going to make a difference. And a lot of times those doctors, that has been helpful with other patients that they've encountered that didn't have fibromyalgia, and they come to the erroneous conclusion that everybody needs that. And so I'm not saying this happens all the time, but I see it because I train these doctors. They will put the cart in front of the horse, and they'll also get to be like the carpenter where everything looks like a, you know, I have a hammer, everything, you know, you want to find the nail, hit the nail, whatever, however that thing is. Everyone becomes kind of like, and there's clinics like this, where you, and you may have encountered these, where you go and everyone gets on hormone replacement therapy, bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Can that be helpful? It can, no doubt about it. But that's so far downstream of what needs to happen that it usually doesn't make much difference. If you treat and correct things upstream and you do that, then the hormones way down here, the estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, they take care of themselves. So part of what you got to do is you got to find somebody. It's the whole thing, really, right? You got to find a doctor who specializes in functional medicine and a doctor who specializes in fibromyalgia, and that's the whole purpose of me training these doctors here. That's about what my mission is. So I encourage you to find out more about that at thefunctionalfibrodoctors.com. I encourage you to find out more about me on the treatingandbeating.com site. There's a tremendous amount of free videos, free articles, all sorts of things. If you've not read the book, I encourage you to read the book and see if it resonates with you. Pray about it. Decide if this is something you want to do. If you're not sure, listen to the testimonials. Go to the treatingandbeating.com site. Listen to the testimonials. These are patients just like you. people who are bedridden, couldn't get out of bed for months, and now have got their life back. So it can happen, and the only difference between them and many people who will listen to this is the people who are now enjoying life again, they did something. They were proactive. They picked up the phone. They called and they found out about a doctor in their area, or they filled out the questionnaire and they set up a phone consult. I accepted them as a new patient and told them I could help them. Because I don't take people. I don't take everybody. If I can't help you, I'll tell you that. Because I don't want to work with somebody and I can't help them. That's no fun for me and certainly no fun for them. So the only way you have a chance, though, of being a success is by doing something different than what you're doing now. So I encourage you, again, in closing tonight, to go to the treatingandbeing.com site and look at the consult page, look at the free videos if you hadn't done that, but get familiar with me, what I do, and then if that makes sense to you, then I encourage you then to investigate, is there somebody in your area or do you still need to do a phone consult? Because you don't want to settle. You don't want to settle. You don't want another year to go by where you're not playing with your kids or your grandkids, or you can't go out with friends. You can't socialize. You can't. I mean, nobody wants that to be the norm, and you can change that. So thanks for joining me tonight. This is Dr. Roger Murphy, thefibrodoctor.com, author of Treating and Beating Fibromyalgia and Chronic Fatigue Syndrome, available in most bookstores throughout North America, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, certainly available on the website. More information at treatingandbeating.com. I look forward to your questions next Tuesday night. We have open question and answer session next Tuesday night, as most Tuesday nights, same time, same number, same access code. Thanks, and look forward to talking to me and you soon.